You may be seated. That's usually what follows. God bless you for standing. Sorry. If you don't follow it up with you may be seated, you just feel blessed for standing. So want to take some knees to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to make known to the congregation, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you, Sister Kellum. All right. Good to see Sister Kellum in service here tonight. Cooper, God bless you. Certainly pray concerning that, Sister D. Offensive right foot. Let's pray for Sister D's offensive right foot and Darlene's eyeball. All right. Brother Mike, I saw your hand. All right. Pray for God's healing you back. Sister Christy. Certainly. Certainly. What's the family name? Ryan and Amber. All right. Let's remember Ryan and Amber in prayer. Certainly. Anybody else? All right. Why don't you stand? And let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. God, we thank you for these precious people have gathered together to lift you up and give you glory and honor and praise, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would work these situations, these circumstances, the needs of life, God, whether healing in the body, God, strength, God, to raise up, whether it's a special unspoken, Lord, you know the detail of every situation, every circumstance represented in this place, God. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come before you in liberty and freedom, God, to express our heart, God, Lord, and lift you up and thank you, God, for intervening and working, God. The testimonies can be made of how you've worked and moved in times past. And, Lord, things you're doing right now we don't even notice or see, God, but we know you're working, God. And we believe that all things work together for the good to them that love you, that are called according to your purpose, Lord. And in that faith and that assurance, God, we endure temptation. We endure trial, God, tribulation and circumstance, God, knowing, Lord, that you're there to help, God, that you make a way of escape. You're able, God, to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us, God. And let us allow that power, God, your power, to move in us and through us, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we applaud your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your truth. We are honored, God, that our lips speak your name, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. See, I followed it up real quick. I do want to say this in regards, many of you are aware that happening this week at the Illinois District Campground, District Conference took place Monday night, yesterday, last night, and then tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night. There are services, what they call family camp. And we encourage you, if you have opportunity to go and be a part of any of those services. I know that there are some planning to go from this assembly, and we certainly encourage you to do that. It's just a great experience to go there and just be a part of that great camp. Illinois is a great district to be a part of, and my wife and I and family are going to be able to go down tomorrow night, Friday night, so we're looking forward to that. Pray God's traveling mercies upon us. We have a great time, and it's always good to catch up and fellowship and have time with others throughout this great district that are doing the same thing that we're doing, if you will, and endeavoring to lead others. And so we ask that your prayers be upon that in the camp for the remainder of this week. We are continuing in our study tonight that I have entitled, you'll see it in a moment, Transition. And we'll transition to it. There we are. See, we transitioned to it. And basically, it's a study talking about the process or changing from one state or condition to another. We've talked about how that it is God's will that we transition, that we grow, that we change. One verse that we've mentioned numerous times is that we are changed into his image from glory unto glory. And so it is God's desire that we transition. The first week in dealing with transition, we talked about necessary endings. We talked about how that there are times in life that the subtitle of lesson one was the good begins when the bad ends. And so we talked about stopping the cycle. We talked about identifying those areas that are necessary to end, getting rid of the bad stuff so that the good stuff can begin, and facilitating that transition from bad to good. And so we end the bad so that the good can begin. And then last week we talked about a little more in depth about the pruning process and how that even some things that may be good aren't necessarily the best. And while some things might not be sinful in our lives, those things may not be facilitating the best that God has for us. And so it's necessary for us to endure the pruning process, if you will. We talked about how that nature itself indicates this principle, how that a rose bush will have many more buds than it is able to sustain. And so those buds and other branches must be pruned back or cut back so that the healthy blooms can reach their full potential and blossom. And then as we were ending last week, we talked about how that sometimes knowing when that time is, knowing when to prune or knowing what to prune or knowing when that time or that season is shifting and changing, sometimes that's not always so easy to identify. Sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes we are convicted or we are compelled or something happens in our life that makes it very apparent that something has to change. Sometimes tragedy or an event or some circumstance brings to our attention that a necessary ending has to happen. Sometimes through the process of pruning, we realize that we should have cut this back a long time ago, and it's time to cut it back. It's time to allow God to prune us. But what about those times where maybe we're a little bit uncertain? What about maybe some of those big changes, those big necessary endings, those times or seasons of life that aren't so easy? The awkwardness that comes with that transition, and we're gonna deal with that a little bit. But the main focus of tonight is talking about times and seasons of transitions. What are those times? What are those seasons of transition? How can we know? Or what are some indicators that transition is coming? Or that I need to do everything I can to facilitate transition? That I need to change? That something is happening in my life? Maybe even the power of God is compelling me to make some changes. And how do I know that? What are some indicators in that? And I want to draw your attention to lesson three, times and seasons of transition. And I want to draw your attention to Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. This is after King Nebuchadnezzar has had his dream of the image, what we call Nebuchadnezzar's image. And this is after Nebuchadnezzar has called in all his magicians, all his soothsayers, all those that worked in divinity. And he told them, not only you have to tell me the dream, and then you have to give me the interpretation of it. And they said, well, you just tell us the dream, and we'll be able to interpret for you. He said, no, that's not how this works. I was awake in the middle of the night, and I dreamed a dream, and I don't remember what that dream was, but I know I want you to, if you'll tell me, I'll know, and then you give me the interpretation. And they said, well, we can't do it. There's no way. Nobody could ever do that, king. However, Daniel comes before the king and says, give me some time, and the Lord will make the dream known. And so this is Daniel as he comes back and he returns to King Nebuchadnezzar to give King Nebuchadnezzar not only what he dreamed, but the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel starts out by saying this. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And then notice how he starts. Notice how his introductory remarks to King Nebuchadnezzar. And these are important if you understand what Daniel was prophesying or telling King Nebuchadnezzar what was about to happen. And that's not going to be the focus of the study tonight. But I want to introduce this times and seasons of transition by looking at what Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, and he, meaning God, changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And the first point I want to make in regards to this passage is simply this, that God created times and seasons, and the transitions of such are normal in nature. Daniel started out, this dialogue with King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, listen, I want you to understand something, that God changes the times and the seasons. In other words, there are some things that are going to happen because God has ordained them to happen. There are times and seasons which will take place, and it's God who orchestrates it. It's God who changes these things. Now, we understand this from a natural perspective. We understand that we go through seasons. One of the things I like about living in Illinois is that you get four seasons. You don't get those four seasons really much in Florida. But in Illinois, and it maybe even some other, they say up in, I believe it is along the Maine and New Hampshire area, that it is beautiful when you see the change of seasons in those areas. And we've had people come visit from Florida during the fall and look at all the colors of the leaves and say, wow, you guys really have a fall here. And we're like, yeah, we do. There's a change of season. Furthermore, we should see transition as a normal process, not something that we fear or are even apprehensive about. Now, that's key. If we understand that God changes the times and the seasons, and that seasons are normal, changing of times and the changing of seasons, well, then we should understand that transition is something that we should accept as normal. Transitioning or changing or facilitating change and pruning and those things that are necessary, those are normal. They're necessary for our lives. God set it up and orchestrated that there would be times and seasons, and they're normal. They're the way God intended. I ask you this, would there not be cause for concern if the seasons stopped changing? If all of a sudden we had a perpetual summer, or Lord forbid, we had a perpetual winter? Wouldn't that be cause for concern? I know Brother Kellum would be very concerned if we had a perpetual winter. It would cause a concern that, man, we're not having a changing of the seasons. It's not getting colder, or it's not getting warmer. Something's wrong. Something's amiss. Not only that, would it not be cause for concern if a child was not growing or maturing? As a parent, if there's something that's not developing, it seems, in one of my children, that's going to cause concern for me. I'm going to wonder, there's something amiss, because it's natural that there be growth. There's natural that there would be development. There's natural that there's going to be times and seasons that happen. And so if those things are not happening, then there's cause for concern. And so when it comes to transition, when it comes to necessary endings, when it comes to pruning, when it comes to those things that are a part of changing from one state to another or one condition to another, we should understand that's normal. We shouldn't fear change. We shouldn't be apprehensive about change. We shouldn't be scared of how this is going to work out. And change is natural. Times and seasons, God changeth them. They're what God ordained. And so we need to change our mindset about transition. We really need to change our mindset about transition, because it's God's will that we do transition, that we do grow, that we do mature. If we don't transition, that's cause for concern. If we're not growing in God, that is cause for concern. If we're not developing in our walk and relationship with Him, that's cause for concern. And we need to understand that the natural thing to do, even from a natural sense, is to there be times and seasons. And so, therefore, it is the same spiritually. We're going to talk about this just a little bit more. But let's talk about some mindsets, or what I would term as three negative mindsets concerning transition. These three areas, if you will, of transition that produce negative mindsets, or these negative mindsets in relation to transition and how it works. There's a personal mindset. The personal mindset that is negative concerning transition is simply this: I don't do change. Transitions are bad for me. How many of you have ever heard someone say, or you have even said it yourself, well, I'm just set in my ways? What they're saying is that I don't do change. This is the way I do it. Transitions are
bad for me. They don't work out for me. And so one of the things we need to get away from is a personal mindset that says, I'm not one that does transition well. I don't do change. Me and change, we don't have a working relationship. I'd rather avoid change. I'd rather just stay where I am and stay in this little comfort area that I have, and transition is not good for me. And so this personal mindset that if we're not careful, it would develop from a personal mindset concerning me and myself to what I call a pervasive mindset, where transitioning now will make a mess of things. Even if I chose to transition, even if I could get over the personal mindset that the transitions are not good for me personally, if I transition, it's going to make everything worse. If I change, if I go through this process of transitioning everything around it, it's going to have a pervasive effect on everything in my life, and everything's going to be bad. Things are going to get worse. I may see the need for change, but I'm not good at change, and change is not really something I do well. And if I do change, then things are going to get worse. And so this personal mindset that becomes pervasive concerning any type of change, it ends up keeping a permanent mindset. Catch it. The feeling that nothing is going to change. How many times have we heard someone say or said ourselves, well, it's just never going to change. It's just not going to change. It's just always going to be this way. It's never going to change. And so you get this feeling, and this develops, if you will, a learned helplessness, where we convince ourselves that we are helpless to change. It just can't happen. Because I don't do change well. Change doesn't work for me. I don't transition. Transitions are bad for me. And if I do transition, then everything just gets worse. Becomes this pervasive mindset that keeps me in a permanent season. Catch it. Where I do not transition. Where I do not develop and I do not grow. And I stay stagnant at best. I'm going to say that again. I stay stagnant at best. So let's talk about this time for a change. These mindsets that work and keep us from changing and keep us from transitioning and keep us from growing and developing. It's just not good for me. If I do, it's going to make things worse, and so I'm just going to stay where I'm at. I don't change. I don't transition. I don't grow. There's no pruning. There's just this continual season that I stay in. See, often wrestling with these negative mindsets is a clear indicator of a need for a transition. Think about it. When I start wrestling with these mindsets, when I start feeling I just can't change, guess what? That's a pretty good indicator that a change needs to happen. Well, I just said everything's going to get worse if I change. Guess what? That's apprehension and fear. And God ordained that there be times and seasons. And so that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And if I truly understood, then wait a second, this apprehension about changing, this apprehension about growing, this apprehension about developing or new levels and new things, and this apprehension that I feel and this fear, that's a pretty good indicator that change needs to happen. That's a pretty good indicator that God is leading me to transition. That uncomfortableness and that awkwardness that you feel. Now here's it. Let me just give you my own personal testimony. Because when God called me into ministry, you need to understand that was quite a transition for this guy who was very introverted, who, as many of you know, would not call out for pizza. I didn't get on the phone. I didn't talk to people. I was introverted. Now around my small social circle of friends, yes, there was some comfortability, but as far as getting up in front of people and speaking, that didn't happen. It wasn't going to happen. And then God began to deal with me about getting into ministry, and I said, God, you got the wrong guy. That don't do well with me. I don't speak in front of people. You know this. And you want me to transition from an introverted guy who doesn't like any kind of public attention in that sense, and now you want me to stand behind a pulpit and preach to people? Do you know what you're doing? And that transition, when God was calling me and leading, it produces such an apprehension and a fear. Oh, no, God, I can't do this. No. But see, that was the very thing that was an indicator that God was leading me, that God was drawing me into that transition. That God was saying, no, here's a season. You had a time where you were introverted, and but now I'm developing you, and now there's a season of life that's coming, and you've got to transition with this. Believe me, I've made this statement before. I have talked with people who had looked back in their life and regretted that the time came and they didn't transition. From their own mouths, I have heard them say, well, God called me and I was just so fearful and scared, I never really stepped out. And I never transitioned. And I regret not doing that. Those seasons, those times, those negative mindsets that say, no, not me, I can't do it. Change is not good for me. If I change, it's going to mess everything up. Catch this. How many people in coming to God have to deal and get over these negative mindsets? How many people, when they come to God, say, well, no, church is not for me. Religion, all that stuff, that's just not for me. I don't do that stuff well. If I do that, it's going to change everything. It's going to be pervasive. It's going to affect my friends and my relationships and maybe even my family. It's going to make things worse. And sadly, how many concede to stay in the season they're in the season of sin, where they don't transition and they don't follow the leading of God as He draws them into a relationship with Him, and they say, no, can't do that. It's not for me. It'll affect everything around me. And so I'll just remain here in this situation and this circumstance. See, Elijah wrestled with similar mindsets in the cave on Mount Horeb. Wow, think about this. He just comes off of what we would consider to be a wonderful victory on Mount Carmel. Many of us know the story, the sacrifice. He calls the prophets of Baal, and they beat themselves silly and cut themselves with knives, and they try to get their God to answer by fire. He does nothing. All day long they do this. At the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah steps forward, says, I think an 11-word prayer. Fire falls from heaven, consumes the altar, all the water, everything is around, licks it up. And people fall on their face before God, declaring that He is the Lord God of Israel. They take the prophets of Baal and they slay them with the sword. And then Elijah hears that Jezebel wants his head. Elijah hears that Jezebel says that I'm going to do what you did to my prophets, I'm doing to you. And Elijah, in his humanity, I'm not picking on Elijah. Elijah runs. Ends up telling God, just kill me, Lord. I'm not even better than my father's. And he starts with these negative mindsets. I'm not anybody. I can't change. I can't. It's not going to be any better. It's always going to be this way. They've killed your prophets with the sword. Hey, Elijah, if I recall just the chapter before, they killed the prophets of Baal with the sword. There's nobody left but I that serve you. I'm it. They're never going to change, God. It's never going to be any different. You have a one prophet public audience. That's it. It's just me, God. Take my life. Kill me. But then think about this. It is the Lord that then speaks. It's the Lord that then brings him out to the edge of the cave. And this is what he says. This is what the Lord tells him to do. Notice. Now think back to what Daniel said. It is God who changes the times and the seasons. He sets up the kings and he takes down the kings. Now this same God calls Elijah to the mouth of the cave and begins to speak to him. And this is what he says. And here's the understanding. Those negative mindsets that even Elijah, a great man of God, is wrestling with in the cave on Mount Horeb, they were indicators of something. A change is coming. There's transition that has to happen here, Elijah. These negative mindsets that you're dealing with are indicators that there's a change, there's a new season coming, there's a new time coming. And catch what God says. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way into the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, of whatever, shall anoint thee to be prophet in thy room. Elijah, those negative indicators, those negative mindsets rather, are indicators that a change is necessary. Here's what you do. Get up, bub. There's a new time. There's a new season. Transition is on its way. Transition is approaching. The state is changing. Things are happening. Here's what you got to do. Anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Anoint Jehu to be king over Judah. And anoint Elisha to be a prophet in thy room. All those negative mindsets that you are dealing with in regards to change and transition, it's never going to happen. Guess what? I'm going to make it happen. Change is coming. Transition is coming. Get up and go anoint them. Now, institutions, we can see this from a secular sense. Institutions which fail to change at the necessary times will often fail. Anybody remember this? Anybody remember how excited you would get when you would hear that? You are connected. I can now instant message someone. This is so neat. I can wait 5 minutes as one picture downloads via dial-up. It'll start scrolling, and I'll get the top, and then into the middle, and then... Man, we are excited about that. America Online was a household name. Man, when the internet was accessible and you could get dial-up, I remember getting so excited that I had access in my own room. You know, all I had to do was take this telephone cord and plug it into the computer and plug it into the wall. And I could hear that dial tone. And I, too, could be connected. Wow. But then this thing called broadband began to take note. All of a sudden, dial-up and accessing the internet via the telephone line, a normal telephone line, started becoming obsolete. Now, I will have you know, there's still dial-up connections. America Online is still a company. It merged with Time Warner Cable, but it didn't change at the right time. It missed the timing. It didn't understand that change was necessary. And because it did not facilitate the change at the right time, check this out. In January 2003, AOL Time Warner reported a $45 billion write-down to reflect the declining value of its flagship America Online property. This led, catch it, to a $100 billion yearly loss. I'm going to say that again. A $100 billion. Do you realize? Do you realize that that is a 100,000 million? $100 billion yearly loss. At that time in 2003, it was the largest, catch this, in history. The largest loss in history. It was only recently done by, guess, anybody want to guess? I'll give you a hint, 2008. AIG. Guess what? They didn't understand the time. They were in collateralized mortgages up to their ears, and they didn't realize it was time to get out. And when the bottom fell, they were left holding all the cards, and they experienced over $100 billion loss because they didn't transition at the right time. And if that's true in the corporate world, if that's true in a natural sense, if that's true in regards to an institution, how much more true is it in regards to us? It's true in regards to us as individuals, just like it's true in regards to institutions. Now, may I say this as politely as possible? It is heart-wrenching to understand that sometimes some of our churches fail because they realize or they fail to realize the time of necessary transition. I know it's going to get quiet in here for a little bit. Because they don't change when the change is approaching. and they stay stuck in their ways, and they have those negative mindsets and say, we're just always going to be this size, and we're just always going to have a revolving door. And so those negative mindsets indicate a permanent situation, when in reality, those negative mindsets should be indicators that a change is necessary, that transition needs to happen, that something's got to give, that something's got to happen in order for us to facilitate some transition. So let's talk about seasons. Spring, summer, fall, winter are necessary transitions in nature, so too are they in life. Let's think about it from a relational sense. Let's think about seasons in regard to marriage. Audience participation. Now, I may only want to be the married folks that answer this, but if you want to answer, feel free. Let's identify spring. What's spring? What do you want to identify spring in a marriage, Sister Christy? Newlyweds, the beginning, everything's fresh, everything's new. Married, maybe new house, new car. It's new, it's spring, it's fresh. It's great, it's wonderful. Woohoo! All right, now let's identify summer. Anybody want to take summer on? I can take summer on. If I were to look at the season of my marriage, it would probably be in the summer. Ain't got much free time. Man, it's three kids, dealing with three kids. I love them, but man, it's tiring sometimes. Everything's not so new and fresh anymore. It seems like it's almost the same thing day after day after day after day. It's monotony of the... Here's the thing, folks. This is why a lot of marriages do not make it, because they don't understand transition. They don't understand that there's going to come a time when everything's not new and not fresh anymore. There's going to come a time when the honeymoon is over. And I may love her, but I don't really like her right now. And vice versa. It seems like we can't talk without getting into an argument about something. And can I just be real? And sometimes it seems like that summer lasts for a long time. But guess what? The marriages that fail to see that transition and understand, guess what? Many times they start looking for something new and fresh. They want spring again. But guess what? That's not the season. It's time to transition. It's time to understand it's not about just me and my wants and my time. It's the fact that I've got a family now. It's the fact that I'm providing for others, and I find my fulfillment and my joy in the spring of others. Those ones that are coming up, those ones that are enjoying life, they don't have any care in the world. They're experiencing their own little spring as everything's wonderful. They don't have bills to pay. They don't have anything. Mommy and daddy take care of everything. They're experiencing their spring while I'm experiencing my summer. And sometimes I envy their spring. They don't have a care in the world. They just love life. It's ice cream and fried chicken and whatever. And I'm dealing with all of it. And I just want to go fishing sometime. That's all. I'm getting passionate. I don't know why, but. And then the fall. Let's identify fall. What would fall be? Emptiness syndrome. Approaching, here's the thing, fall is harvest. I'm approaching the retirement. I've put all this time, I've invested time and effort into a career, and I've suffered through the summer when it was just kind of the same thing every day. And now I'm approaching fall in my life, and kids are growing up, and they're hopefully moving out. And they're experiencing another season in their life, and they don't have the failure to launch, and they're transitioning. And they're having families of their own, and now I get to enjoy the grandkids, and when they cry, give them back. But it's fall now in my life, and now the hair's turning loose or turning gray, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And I realize that I don't get out of bed as fast as I used to. And then there's winter. Well, what's winter then? Family may be taking care of you. You're on your way out. Let's just be honest. It's winter. Always cold. Always got to have a sweater. It's always... Sorry. Just had to throw that one in there. dead of summer. I got to have a sweater on because I'm in the season of winter. Hope I didn't offend anybody with that comment. But I'm in that season of winter, and it's coming to an end. Now, let me ask you this. How do marriages that are in the winter make it? It's not new and fresh anymore. I tell you how they made it. They made it because they understood transition, and they're still, catch this. They spent some time in spring, and they made it through summer. They were there when the kids went away. And though it's winter and it's cold and they're on the decline, what they built in the spring and what they lasted through in the summer and what they experienced in the fall has them together in the winter. See, we understand those things, and we see those. We even have seasons in life as an individual and what we go through and what we experience. So seasons are natural. The transition is natural. And some of the most difficult things in the world to watch are people who haven't understood you got to transition. People who haven't, they're adults, but they haven't put away childish things. And you just want to say, what? You're not 18 anymore. You're 48. You're approaching fall, and you're trying to live in spring. I'd have a midlife crisis too. And the reason why you're having a midlife crisis is because you haven't transitioned. You haven't learned that God has set things in order, and He changes the time and the season. You can inject yourself with Botox. You can have things lifted and turned out and do whatever. But guess what? You ain't going to stop the inevitable. The season's going to happen. I'll move on before I get in trouble. But sometimes in seasons we do not have control over. The transitions happens independent of us. Try as we may. There are some things we don't have control over. I'll give you a case in point. Look at Acts chapter 6. When they were therefore come together, this is after Jesus was resurrected, and they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. There are some things. There are some times and there are some seasons that are going to transition independent of you. You don't have any control over it. It's going to happen. But might I reiterate something I said in a former study? If we don't learn how to do it in a natural sense, and we don't learn how to accommodate transition, when these transitions that we have no control over and we have no power over happen, they're going to be a lot harder to deal with. When these things that come upon us outside of our control and they happen to us, and these transitions are forced upon us, but we haven't understood and we haven't learned how to transition with the times and the seasons. We haven't allowed the former awkwardness and uncomfortableness that precedes the necessary change to facilitate change. And we've stayed in our ways and we've kept the negative mindset. Say, I can't change. Change doesn't happen for me. If I change, everything's going to mess up. And so I'll just stay right here. And then when the change that is outside of our control happens, it will rock our world. Let me ask you this. What happens when people who don't really know anything about changing and transitioning and have never really experienced, what happens when all of a sudden God decides to start wrapping this thing up? Well, what happens when forced transition happens? What happens when people, and excuse the analogy, what happens when people who are living on the government and the government only, catch this, please understand, and I'm not demeaning that. I'm just simply saying, what happens when all of a sudden the checks stop coming? All of a sudden transition is forced upon them. All of a sudden now I've got to find other means and other ways. What happens if I haven't learned how to transition? I haven't learned how to accommodate some change in my life. When change is forced upon me, how am I going to deal with that? How am I going to be able to facilitate the change? Well, it's just always going to be this way. It's always going to happen. It's just always going to be good. Well, what if it isn't? What if it isn't? What if something happens where it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to work out? However, for those times and seasons God has placed in our power, we need to notice and initiate the transition for reaching our potential in him. Yes, there are some times and seasons that he is placed in his own power. There's things he's going to do. Now, granted, come the election, I may, and I encourage you to vote. But the reality is, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'm going to cast my vote. I'm going to put my vote. I'm going to put my ballot in the box. But who ends up leading this nation, I'm going to have little, very little, if any, control over. I'm just not. But guess what? I guarantee you this. It's going to facilitate some change. It's going to facilitate some transition. It's going to cause some things to happen. How am I going to deal with it? I don't have any control over it. I really don't have any control. Who writes the law? I don't. I can vote. Yeah, I can do my due diligence. I can do my part. But when it comes to certain things, God sets them up. God takes them down. And those things which God has placed in his own power, I don't have control over those. But those things that God has placed in my power, I do have control over. Those things that God has put in me and things that I do have influence on and I do have impact on. Those things, God says, you got to be a good steward. You got to be aware of the times and seasons and be able to transition in those. Summarizing. Transitions of times and seasons are natural and should be seen as necessary and normal. It's okay to change. It's okay to transition. It's okay to allow God to do the pruning process. It's okay. It's not always going to feel good. But remember, just because it's hurtful doesn't mean it's not helpful. Because sometimes, some of the greatest, I dare say some of you could testify to this as well. Some of the greatest growing experiences in my life happened as a result of hurt. Happened as a result of pain. Sometimes self-inflicted. Sometimes situation-inflicted. But a learning experience, I grew from that. Yes, it was painful at the time. Yes, it was hurtful at the time, but it helped me. It helped me to grow, and I would have never grown in that area had that not happened to me. It forced a transition, if you will. It caused me, and so everything that is hurtful doesn't mean that it's harmful. It might actually mean that it's helpful. Failing to notice the times and seasons necessitating a transition will stunt growth. I fail to notice. And one of those indicators should be I'm dealing with those negative mindsets. Well, I don't want to change. I'm apprehensive of change. Well, that's a good indicator you need to change. Oh, I like what I'm doing. I'm setting my ways. Well, maybe that's a good indicator that you need to get unset in your ways. I know it's not the kind of teaching we like, but it's the kind of teaching that's helpful. Because remember, if it's hurtful, I'm kidding. You'll get that later. Often increased apprehension and uncertainty concerning a transition is an indicator of its need. In other words, it's time to act. It's time to act. Why? Because a new season approaches. There's something coming. There's something happening, and I've got to act. I can't stay where I'm at and keep in this permanent mindset, negative mindset, that it's never going to change. There's a new season coming. It's time to act. Finally, there is an expectation that we are good stewards of the times and seasons that God has placed in our power. I do have the opportunity to affect change. And I need to notice, I need to be aware that change is necessary because there's a new season coming in my life. And as apprehensive as I may be, and as uncomfortable as that possibility makes me, I need to understand that is probably the very reason why I need to facilitate it, because God has more potential for me. And if I stay where I'm at and I don't prune and I don't allow God to do what he wants to do in my life, I will not grow and I will not blossom and I will not be what he wants me to be, and I will fail to reach the potential he has. And so I want to grow. I want to transition. I want to notice those times and seasons where God says, okay, here's the shift. Here's the move. I'm changing you from one state or condition to another. I'm changing you into my image from glory unto glory. And in the midst of that change, yes, there's pain. Yes, there's hurt. Yes, there's situations that I'm dealing with that I don't necessarily want to deal with. There's adverse circumstances, but guess what? on the other side of that, I look back and realize, wow, I'm so glad I facilitated. I'm so glad, as apprehensive as I was, I'm so glad that I allowed God to help me make that change and that transition, because I'm better now. It's not that I wasn't good, it's that I can be better and I want to reach my best. And so I allow and facilitate that transition to happen in my life. I want you to stand to your feet. I want us to do this. We have just a few minutes remaining, and I don't. I'm not opposed to letting you out before 8 o'clock. That's not what I'm doing. Oh, we got 3 minutes. Just take 3 minutes. No, but I just want us to take a few moments, and I want us to pray. And you along with me, I want us to be honest and sincere before God and say, Lord, help me. Help me notice the times, the seasons. I know there's some things outside of my control, but there's a lot of things that are under my control. There's a lot of things that I do have influence, and I do have the power to change. And Lord, help me to be sensitive to that. Help me to follow the leading of your Spirit. Can we pray right now, Lord Jesus? Oh, we know, God, the change, the transition of times and seasons, Lord. It's something that you put into place, God. It's something divinely orchestrated by you, Lord. And we realize there are some times and seasons which we have no power, Lord. You have put those in your own power, and we understand that that's the case. But, Lord, those things that you have put in our power, those opportunities for change and transition, God, that maybe as we see them approaching, we become apprehensive, Lord, and we feel like maybe we should just stay where we are, Lord. Let that be an indicator that we need to facilitate change. We need to rely upon you and your power, God, to press us forward, Lord, as we press toward the mark of the high calling in you, God, that we would allow your Spirit to help us transition, Lord, to change us into your image from glory to glory, that we would become better to reach our best and find our full potential in you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.